Welcome to this week's Body and Soul program. With me today is Emma O'Toole, a yoga maniac, and she's talking with me about yoga and the benefits of yoga. So, hi Emma, how are you?
Hi Vivian, how are you?
Oh, fine. I'm so delighted to have you on here today and talk with me about yoga. But could you first tell us a bit about yourself and how did you start doing yoga actually yourself?
It all started about 12 years ago. I'm type 1 diabetic and trying to manage my blood sugar levels. So I did very little exercise in the fear of my sugar level falling. So I just ate, I sat, and I ate, and I gained weight. So I needed to do something. So I joined a gym, and I was given fitness routine for cardio and weights to try and tone whatever, all the muscles that I needed but that were underworked and not working at all. So I did this for a few months and hated every minute of it. And it was just one day I noticed these people coming through the gym with these mats underneath their arms and going into a studio. Now, this studio didn't have any windows. It was kind of off the gym, so you couldn't see what was happening. But I was still going through all of the routine that the personal trainer gave me. And an hour later, these people came out smiling. They were sweating. They had still got these mats underneath their arms. And I was still enduring this routine that was given me. So I had to inquire about what this was. Why were they smiling? Because I wasn't smiling when I was doing my fitness routine.
Yeah.
And they told me it was yoga. Now, I knew nothing about yoga. I was literally kind of going, well, what's so different about what they're doing compared to what I was doing? And they just said, look, all they said was, just try it and see if you like. If you're not liking what you're doing, just see, will this be better for you? So I signed up and I did a 4-week course and I loved every minute of it. I think it's because of the way I learned how my body moves and how everything that hangs together on with your torso, with the muscles and the skeleton, how everything is there for a purpose and there to move efficiently. And that was 12 years ago. And I've been practicing ever since, 12 years. And then 6 years ago, I did a yoga teacher training and I became a yoga teacher. So now all the years of practice of yoga, I now share with my clients.
Well, that's really great that like kind of a passion that yourself had become to actually your job, that you can share
yeah.
it with others.
Oh, totally.
And I think you kind of said people came out and were smiling and they were sweating. I think loads of people think that yoga is just relaxation, but it's not just relaxation, right?
There's lots of key parts to yoga. The asana is the actual true name of it, which is the postures, the movements, is only one element of yoga. And that's what everyone understands. Yoga is just all the poses. The relaxation is another key part of it.
Yeah.
Yoga is a moving meditation. So you're getting your breath to quiet your mind. And then as the mind is trying to be quiet, trying to extract all the stuff, the to-dos and where you have to be after the class and I have to collect this and need to get this over with first, trying to park all that kind of clutter and just concentrate on where your body or how your body is moving at the very moment. It's a moving meditation. So your breath is your guide. So as you inhale, the arms raise up and exhale as you fold forward. And just doing something simple like that, okay, from the outside looking, that is just stretching. But when you think of the breath, of how when you raise the arms up, the chest expands and your body is lifting out of the pelvis and it's lengthening. And as you fall forward, the back of your body is then lengthening towards the floor and gravity is then being your friend to lengthen your body down. That's the intricate part of yoga.
Yeah.
And that's what it's really all about. And that's how you work into the fine muscles. Because in fitness, when you do repetitive stuff like running, you're constantly using the same muscles when you move the arms, move the hips, move the legs. When you're doing basketball, when you're doing tennis, you're using the same muscles. So you need to add something else to that to stop the muscles from being overworked and then help the muscles that are being underworked to create that balance, stop repetitive injuries.
What would you say to people if they just come to you, oh, Emma, it's just stretching and you can tell me everything, but I don't believe in yoga? What would you tell them?
If they don't believe in yoga, yoga really is for everyone. But if their mindset is not in it, I won't argue with them. If it's not for them, it's not for them. And they can choose whatever else that they want to use or want to do. If it is a case where they're getting repetitive stress, strain or there's a degenerative condition in the spine, because we all get prolapse as we get older. And sometimes the prolapse within the spine does actually tip off the spinal nerve and the sciatica, or create sciatica. That's when you have to kind of rein back what you're currently doing and then kind of write, what else am I? I'm doing something wrong, fundamentally wrong. Well, how do I fix it to avoid surgery?
Yeah.
And that's where yoga can come in to try and fine tune what muscles are being overworked and work with the muscles that have been underworked to create the balance. So your posture and how you hold yourself is much better.
So yoga can also be kind of a bit physiotherapy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds really interesting. I never thought about that part of yoga. For me, it was just like, oh yeah, it's relaxation. It can be exhausting, but for me, always the part of concentrating on your breath and stuff like that was like workout enough for me.
Exactly. Now, there's different kinds of yoga. It depends on your personality of what you really want to work on. The flavors is like I call the different kinds of yoga, the flavors. You kind of think, when you think of flavor, you think of something that's juicy, something's really nice. So there's different kinds of yoga. So the one that I teach is called Ashtanga. Ashtanga is a very dynamic type of yoga. It's very athletic. So an awful lot of people that will be into endurance sports would really like Ashtanga, because it's the same sequence. It's 75 postures that works on every single muscle group, and you sweat a lot. Even you don't even have to have a hot room, just a temperate room, and you sweat loads because of your breath. If you want to take something that's a little bit more softer, a little bit more gentle, there's another one called Hatha yoga. Now, Hatha is one of the oldest types of yoga. That is where you're holding the poses for a little bit longer and you're concentrating solely on the breath. And if you find that your breath, and this is the same on all styles of yoga, if you find your breath is becoming really, really sharp and you're breathing a lot, you're doing too much. You should be able to hold a pose and still talk and still breathe with ease.
So do you offer more of these kind of flavors, or do you do more do the dynamic thing? Could you tell us a bit about that?
Ashtanga, as I mentioned, is 75 postures. And it's the same sequence each time. Each class is roughly about an hour and a half to do every style or every pose. And it's the same thing each time. Now, there's two types. There's a led class where I guide the class through from beginning to end. Or there's what they call a Mysore. Mysore is where Ashtanga yoga first originated. And Mysore is a self-practice. So you'd be going into a room and there's people already practicing the sequence, but there's a teacher going around to each person to help them if they get stuck in a pose, or they need, or they've forgotten what the next pose is, or they need an assistance. That's where I would go around the room, but I wouldn't be formally teaching the class. And everyone is doing different things. So if I walk into a room, there could be somebody that's just started, there could be someone that's halfway through, there could be somebody lying on the floor in their relaxation. Nobody talks. All you hear is just breath. It sounds a bit weird, but all you hear is just people breathing and possibly the teacher just whispering, so it's not disturbing everyone else. But that's how you create the self-inquiry of, oh, my lower back is really tight, I can't touch my toes. So the teacher will be there to help you bend your knees just to get a little bit further. And that's when you can close your eyes and find where the tightness is and hold it, just find it, and then it'll let it go. Like a massage therapist. You go to a massage therapist, the first thing that they do is they press down on a tight muscle to release the lactic acid. And once there's so much pressure on that muscle, it cannot do anything else but let go.
Yeah.
Yoga does the same, but you're doing it yourself.
So you mentioned that when you do this kind of sessions, the self-teaching sessions, that there could be people who just started, or so there's actually an outline of how a yoga class should be, or how do you do that?
Yeah, the self-practice would be someone that knows the Ashtanga practice themselves. Now, if people want to start doing that, that's fine. They want to try it themselves. Ideally, from my experience, I wouldn't. I would go to a led class first, so you can get an understanding of how the postures and the sequence starts and ends. And then, because it's repeated, the same all the time, you learn it. So you don't. It gets to a point that you've been doing it for so long that you just do it yourself. You don't need somebody to tell you what to do. That's where the self-practice comes in. If at any point that you don't want somebody, or I don't want to think anymore, I've been thinking all day and I want someone to tell me what to do, There's another, that's where the lead class comes in. So if you don't want the same sequence, because sometimes I get bored of the Ashtanga practice, I just want to do something else. There's another flavor called Vinyasa flow. And Vinyasa is like Ashtanga, like Hatha, like Iyengar. They're all the different schools of yoga, and it's all thrown into one class. I always ask what people want to work on in a Vinyasa flow, because every day is completely different.
Yeah, because so everyone has, is completely different.
Totally. Like somebody said, oh, well, I've done something to my back at the weekend, or I was minding my, I was looking after my children and somebody else's children. So I was carrying a baby on my hips, so my hips are slightly out, or I was underneath the sink trying to fix a leak underneath the sink and I hurt my back. You know, there's loads of different things. Or I was out running and I did something to my calf muscle or my Achilles, or I overexerted myself while hiking.
Yeah.
You know, there's loads of things. But they're injuries, but where the tension is, and it's exactly as I said earlier, where you're overworking muscles and not working the right muscles, and that's where yoga try and find that happy medium. So I'll always ask, what do you want to work on? Do you want to work on arms? Do you want to work on core? Do you want to work on hamstrings, hips? And I'll get all that feedback from the people that are sitting in front of me, and I'll create the class there and then in front of them.
Oh, that's quite kind of tough, isn't it? Just to do it on spot?
On the spot, yeah. Because I do have a sequence to do it, and everything flows into that sequence. So if somebody doesn't say anything, like, I don't care what we work on, we'll just, you know, can we do it a little bit slow today because my energy is a little bit down? I'll do that. And if somebody said, oh, I want to work on arm balances, I'll do that too. I'll just do a softer one rather than a harder one.
Yeah.
So everyone benefits from that.
Well, that's really good. But I don't know if I could do that, like, on the spot, creating a whole thing. I mean, I did that with loads of other things, but I think it's so hard because in yoga, there are so many positions, aren't they?
There's loads of positions, there are. But in Ashtanga, you can't do that. It has to be the sequence, and that's it. There's no two ways around it. In Vinyasa, you can mix it up in whatever way that you want. Now, you don't have to do the full pose in any of the schools of yoga. There's always modifications. So if somebody has really tight lower back or really tight hamstrings, the likelihood of them touching the toes is very slim. So how or what can you do to try and modify that to make it easier? It's very simple. If you're bending forward, either standing or sitting, the hamstrings are going to give out. There's like this steel grip, and there's just no give unless they snap. So you don't want that to happen. It's very simple. Bend the knees.
Yeah.
And that relieves the lower back. So the hamstrings are not pulling as hard, but your body will then move forward.
No,
that's not cheating. No, that's just modifying it to the capability of your body on the day at that time. And the more that you do that, the more the muscles will remember how they were built to work, because muscle has memory, it also has amnesia. So if you're doing something all the time like running, so you'll be able to use the hip muscles to move the arms, move the upper body, that's fine. But if you were to ask someone to lengthen their calf muscles, lengthen their hamstrings, they'll probably go, eh, that's not going to happen. Ask me to run 100 meters or 400 meters, I'll do that in a heartbeat. So
yeah,
there's more kind of stamina in yoga than endurance.
Yeah. But I think that kind of encourages people who even have problems like knee problems or back problems, because I think loads of exercises stop you to do that if you have knee problems, back problems, hip problems. But yoga kind of helps you. What would you recommend for people?
For people that have knee problems, and I'm going to say this from my own personal point of view, because I had knee problems growing up, and about 5 years ago, I had a big time problem with my right knee where I couldn't flex it, and I couldn't straighten it, and I couldn't bend it. It was just completely painful, and I couldn't do yoga practice. And I got MRIs on my knee, and I got physio, and the physio was making it worse, and the MRI came back clear, but yet my knee was really, really sore. So there was physically nothing wrong with my knee, but the problem was there. And I went to one of my yoga teachers, and the problem actually originated from my right hip. My right hip was slightly higher than my left, but because of the skeletal structure of my entire body, I was completely out of balance. And so the pain just resonated in my knee. Now, it was more to do with my upper knee, the upper part of my knee, because that's where the problem started from my hip. If the pain is below the knee, around the shin or the calf, it might be to do with the ankle or the foot placement.
Yeah.
But that's not to discount any problems with the actual knee, like cartilage issues, ACL issues, any kind of bursitis or inflammation into the ligament capsule. That's not taking it. That could be something entirely different, like the meniscus tear. They're all within the knee. So you just have to be very, very gentle with it because you don't want any more aggravation to it. So it's just something just to be mindful of, that if you have a pain in your shoulder, it might not just be from the shoulder. It could be from the shoulder blade. It could be from the way you're lying in your bed. It could be the way that you're sitting in the car. It could be the way you're sitting in the chair. You know, the cause and effect, you just have to be mindful of how you hold your body and how your body is responding to that. And pain will always be your indicator.
Yeah.
Now, you could have a high threshold for pain. I might have a high threshold for pain. It's just to find where and why it's happening.
Yeah. And yoga.
Yoga does that. Yoga will find... even just yesterday, I was working with a guy who had a shoulder, not even a shoulder issue, but he noticed that his one shoulder was slightly more forward than the other. And I just asked him various different questions, but there was one pose that I did with him that brought his shoulder back. And it was very simple. It was literally just to lie on his stomach and extend his left arm out to the side. So the palm was on the floor, right hand, which is close by, and the elbow into facing the ceiling, and push into the right hand to lift the right side off the floor and keep the left shoulder on the floor and look up towards the ceiling. So you're rotating your body, but you're not moving that left shoulder. And what happens there is that you're moving the front muscles, the pectoral muscles, to open, to broaden across the front.
Yeah.
And just gently easing that left shoulder back without forcing the shoulder blade back into the spine. But you're still at that lengthening. And just come out of it. And he sat upright and goes, this feels weird. This doesn't feel right. But the only reason why it didn't feel right is because his body was so used to his shoulder folding forward that was his, and I'll put it in inverted commas, norm, that when the shoulder moved back to its correct position, because it wasn't, the shoulders were even, left and right, it felt odd. Because the brain just didn't understand what just happened or why am I in this position because I'm not used to being here. And that's how, when you come to the relaxation, that's when your brain is then learning of what muscles have been working, where the muscles have realigned. So then the memory is then embedded into those muscles to do it again.
Oh, that sounds so good for people who have injuries and stuff like that. I even know that myself. I have loads of dislocations in my hips. So I actually have the same knee problems as you had, but I also have problems with the foot bat. So it kind of comes from both sides. And it took me quite a long time to get that really into the right position. But I think we talked a long time. So could you just say, tell me, what classes do you offer? What would you recommend to people if they want to start? And is there anything you would like to add?
The classes, I think probably the best classes for beginners is the Vinyasa Flow, where, like I said earlier, working on people, what people want to work on. And I have an idea in my head of how the class will go. And if there's a curveball in there, I will cater for it. If they want to make it softer, I'll make it softer. If they want to make it harder, make it harder. But they don't have to do the hard poses. And I do those classes in the studio in City West. And I also do those classes in Leopardstown and Glenageary.
So if people want to check out your website, could you tell us your website or could they get in contact with you?
Sure. The website is yogawithemma.ie. And all the information is there. There's a link there to the timetable and booking. They can find any class that's near them, as I just mentioned in the places. It's very easy. It's all in front of them.
Thanks for having you in here today. That was lovely talking to you. So see you.